Being a mother is a very special thing. I'm not a football fan. I probably never looked at a whole football game. I went to a few football games when I was in high school, but I wasn't interested in football. I was interested in the girls or whatever, but not the football. It amazes me for what little football I see, that these big 300-pound men, when they put the camera on them, what do they say? Hi, Mom. I don't think I've ever heard of one saying, hi, Dad. It's always, hi, Mom. And I look at sometimes TV and the news report, and somebody done killed three people, and the mom comes on and say, he's really a good boy. He's really a good boy. Well, from the mom's perspective, he's a good boy. Something else caused that. It wasn't him. He's a good boy. And so the relationship, I think, between a child and its mother is just very, very special. And when we are young, we don't realize that. We don't realize how special that is. Many of us have broken our mother's hearts and thought nothing about it. I mean, it just wasn't a big deal to us. Just didn't care. One of the most difficult things I have to understand, I'm against abortion because I believe the Bible teaches murder is a sin. So I'm against abortion. I think life begins at conception. So I think abortion is murder. But I have a very difficult time with my picture of mothers taking their own child's life. I just have a hard time. I can't put my arms around that. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all. Of my picture of a mother and that happening just won't fit together. As much as I try to make it fit together, it just won't fit. How could a mother do that? How could a mother do that? Years ago, I used to train obedience-trained dogs. I never raised dogs, but I obedience-trained dogs. And one of the things I'd run into, because I was around dogs a lot, people would have dogs and have their dogs would have puppies. And the people who owned the dogs would have a hard time getting rid of the puppies. They just kind of fell in love with the little puppies. A person falls in love with a little puppy. How could you not fall in love with a little baby? How could that not happen? I just don't understand that at all. Just can't grasp that in my mind. Now, I know as a church, we need to have a ministry to people who have had abortions and minister to them and say, God can forgive you of anything. It is wrong. It was wrong. Always will be wrong. But God can forgive you. God will accept you. You can be forgiven. That can be washed away. I believe we need to be involved in doing that. Honestly do. But try as I might, I just can't understand that. I want to just share with you two or three scriptures today talking about mothers. And at the end, I'm going to tell you what my main point is, okay? I'm going to tell you what I really want to get after. But what I want to say to start with is, being a godly mother is difficult. Being a godly mother is difficult. A mother's position is a position of service. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible tells why God created women to start with. And it says in Genesis 2:18, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. So from the very beginning, women were created to be helpers. From the very beginning. And you say, well, that's not such a glorious position that I'm a helper. That's the position God gave women. And it started out that way. And you say, well, our sin nature says, I want to be the boss. I want to be the leader. I want to be the one in charge. I want to be the one ruling the roost. I don't want to be the heifer. And yet God intended for women to be heifers. And it's hard to understand that until Jesus comes. And Jesus says, you've got the whole system backwards. Your thought process is exactly bottom-uppers. Because what you think is that if I want to be the greatest, I've got to climb and be on the top. That's the way you be the greatest. That's not the way you be the greatest in the kingdom of God. You turn it over and you be the greatest by serving. That's how the greatness is in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. So the greatest person who ever lived was a servant. And he says, if you want to be great, that's the way to do it. Oh, I know the world says it's the other way. I know your own human nature says it's the other way. My general feeling is, if I've got people serving me, then I'm greater than they are. God says, no, that's not the way it is. Real greatness comes from serving. Can you think of any position, any person who serves more than a mother? I mean, all the time. Years ago, I listened to a tape in which a fellow was telling what I want my children to know. And it was a man doing that. He wanted to, what I want my children to know. And I don't forget, about 21 different things. And I don't remember any of them except one. And he said, one of them was, I want my children to know that women work harder than men. I want my children to know that women work harder than men. And you know, as I've looked around, I believe that's true. I mean, the women I know and the women I'm around, they're always working. Always. Being a godly mother is difficult. Being a godly mother is difficult. Because all of us have a sin nature, and therefore all of us are rebellious. Not some of us, all of us. And when mama tries to tell us what to do and how to live and how to be better people, we rebel against that. And we hurt them. And we don't care that we hurt them. Just, we don't think about it. And those mothers continue to love and continue to serve. So the reason God created women to begin with was to be heifers. The man is to be the head, the woman is to be the heifer. Doesn't look like a glorious position until we understand it from Jesus' perspective, that greatness comes through service. I don't think I'm a male chauvinist, although I do have problems with women serving in the military and different things. I have a problem with that. But I do think a woman's qualities are multiplied. That may be male chauvinist. I'm not sure, but a good woman is just much better than a good man. And a sorry woman is much worse than a sorry man. I mean, that may be chauvinistic. I just think that. I grew up around what you would call alcoholics. We call them drunks. But an alcoholic is a person who has a drinking problem and trying to correct it. A drunk has had a drinking problem. He don't want to correct it. He wants to stay drunk. But a drunkard, a man that's a drunkard, is pretty sorry lot. But a woman that's a drunkard, in my view, is much worse. It just a woman's qualities seem to multiply to me. We talked about the reason God created women. Let's talk about the role of women. God says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. Wives, be subject to your own husbands. You know the Bible never says to the husband, make her subject to you? Never. Never tells the man to do that. It tells the woman to submit to your husband. If she doesn't do that, she's disobeying Scripture. When you disobey Scripture, what is that? Sin. And it's very, very difficult to submit to anybody. It is very difficult to submit to anybody. You go to work, and you have to submit to your boss. That's a part of what work is. You have to do that. But it's not easy to do that. You know, someone says, he may not always be right, but he's always the boss. He may not be always right. And in the military, I served a church in Columbus, Georgia, which is next to Fort Benning, and almost everybody in my church had some connection with the military. And submission is absolutely required in the military. You cannot have people down the rank deciding what's right and what's wrong, what they should do and what they shouldn't do. It won't work. It can't work. You've got to have people who will submit to people in authority over them. And God tells the woman, you need to submit to your husband. You need to allow him to be the leader. And if a woman decides she's not going to do that, she's sinning. That's all that is. That's sin. Probably need to tell you that I personally think what God tells a man to do is much more difficult than what he tells a woman to do. But anyway, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Titus, book of Titus. Book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Titus 2, 3 through 5. Book of Titus. It's in there somewhere. Titus 2, 3 through 5. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. So Paul is writing and saying to the preacher, Titus, Titus, you need to teach older women certain things. You need to teach older women that they need to teach younger women. And here's some of the things you teach them. They be reverent in their behavior. They be not malicious gossips, not enslaved to wine, teaching what is good. And they need to encourage young women to do what? Love their husbands and love their children. Love their husbands and love their children. In my humanness, I'm tempted to think a mother loves her child anyway. But it must not always be true. Must not always be true. Inspired Scripture says, Titus, teach the older women to teach the younger women that they need to love their husbands and love their children. When you love your children, you do what is best for them. Then he says to be sensible and workers at home. Workers at home. Let me center in on that. Workers at home. Let me, first of all, tell you a joke, and I have to tell you, I say a lot of things that's funny, people laugh at me, but very seldom do I plan to tell a joke and it works. when I plan to tell it, it just never goes over. So this is supposed to be a joke, okay? Set it up front so you know. This is what it's supposed to be. I believe a woman's place is in the home, and that's where she ought to be when she gets off work. I believe a woman's place is in the home, and that's where she ought to be when she gets off work. But I do not think it's a sin for a woman to work. Don't think that's wrong. I do think the biblical idea is that for a woman, the center of her life is home. For a woman, the center of her life is home. Not work, not friends, not sports. The center of her life is home. Workers at home. There's nothing, there is absolutely nothing more important than being a good mother. And that doesn't stop when the child grows up. There's nothing more important than being a good mother. I think the greatest career any person could ever have is to be a godly mother. No other career compares. Preaching comes close, but not quite. Being a godly mother, raising and training the next generation. And many times, it's a heartbreaker. Because you invest your whole life, and then they reject everything you taught them. I mean, that even happened with God, didn't it? God created Adam and Eve, and they rejected him. So because my child rejects what I taught them, doesn't mean I was a terrible parent. I'm a terrible parent when I don't try. That's when I'm a terrible parent. I'm a terrible parent when I don't try to make them and train them and teach them about God. I'm a terrible parent when something else is the center of my life except my home. And for a mother, home needs to be the center. Everything else revolves around that. Everything else. Now, most of us, I think, are very aware that life has a tendency to always try to put what's third place in first place. Life has a tendency to try to put what's fifth place in first place. And Satan will do anything he can do to keep you, as a mother, from centering your life on your home. You know what the greatest threat to what's first in your life? Somebody tell me. What's second in your life? And sometimes the greatest threat to being the kind of mother you ought to be is falling to the trap that I can buy them enough stuff that that'll replace that. If I buy them enough stuff, then I'm being a good mother. No, I'm not. If I carry them to enough ball games, I'm being a good mother. Not necessarily. You need to center your life. You need to center your life around your home. And that's the Mother's Day message. To center your life around your family and your home. You may have to work. Many mothers do. That's okay. But work should not be the center. Home should be the center. Home should be the center. And as you get older, maybe because I'm a grandparent, I'm more and more impressed with the influence grandparents can have. With the influence a grandmother can have on that child. We live in a society in which many children are raised by their grandparents. And it's tragic. But you know, what our children need most, they need to be trained. But what our children need most is real love. Real love. Not this mushy stuff, huggy stuff. Not that kind of love. The kind of love that's strong enough to say no when no needs to be said. The kind of love says, I'm going to stand with you no matter what. You may break my heart, but I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to love you. I'm going to do everything I can do to help you. Mother, center your life around your home. It is a servant's job. It's not a glorious job. It's a servant's job. And it's difficult and it's heartbreaking. And you need to keep on keeping on when it looks like it's hopeless. There's nothing that can take the place of a mother's love.